stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
If you're standing, please hold on to the handrails and stay clear of the automatic doors. They will be closing in a moment. Thank you.
Welcome back to another episode of the Monorail Tales. Joining me tonight is co-host and my better half, or sometimes worst half, Steve Sanders.
I'll go with the first part.
No.
All right.
I messed that one up. It should have been the other way
around. My answer is A.
You know what, Steve? I feel there's magic in the air tonight. Yeah. And let me explain why I feel that. Actually, I'm wondering if any of our listeners has heard about the Magic Castle in Hollywood, California. I had not until our special guest for tonight had contacted me. For those that don't know, the Magic Castle is a clubhouse for magicians and magic enthusiasts, as well as the clubhouse for the Academy of Magical Arts, and bills itself as the most unique private clubhouse in the world. I'm so excited, truly excited, about recording this episode. For me, not only to learn more about the Magic Castle itself, but also the Disney links attached to the club. And the best person to share that knowledge is our guest for tonight, who is a magician himself, a member of the Academy of Magical Arts at the Magic Castle, Mr. Barry Wallace. Welcome to the show, Barry.
Hey, welcome, Barry.
Thanks.
Glad to have you here. And we will behave, because otherwise he will make one of us disappear.
Exactly. Well,
Barry, I was going to ask you for advice on the disappearing act. I've tried it on my husband many a time and it doesn't work, so I don't know what I'm doing.
Well, you said last night that I do that when I go on my solo trip, so I don't know.
Well, we got a lot to cover here, I think, Barry. And I always like to kind of go back, start at the beginning of a story that we want to share with our listeners. So if we could just get a little background on where you grew up, where you live now, that sort of type of information.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I grew up in New York City, the Bronx to be specific. And I spent all my years until I was 20 in the greater New York area. But my interest in magic and Disney happened at the same time. So when I was 5 or 6 years old, there was a TV show called The Magic Land of Alakazam. And it was the first TV show for kids that featured magic every single week. And I just loved that. And at the same time, on Sunday nights, as you all know, was the Wonderful World of Disney, the World of Color back then.
Right.
And that was another magical thing for me. But I could learn how to do magic on my own. I could go to the library and find books on it. But I didn't think I would ever be able to make it out to Disneyland. So I didn't get to Disneyland until I was 20 and I moved out to Southern California. And I've been here ever since. Ever since means at the beginning of 2020, January 1st, I retired.
Right. What got you to move from 3,000 miles across the country?
Well, that's a really interesting question that's neither related to magic nor to Disney.
Okay.
I had a succession of girlfriends who, three of them to be exact, became Christians and moved out to the West Coast. And I thought, well, that's really strange. So the last one ended up in a commune. In a Christian commune, and I said, well, I want to move out. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to talk her out of this Christian commune. Mm-hmm. And so a friend of mine and I I piled everything into my Volkswagen Bug, and and we drove to Seattle, Washington, where she was from New Jersey.
Wow.
On the way, this is again going to sound strange, but on the way, our car broke down in the Colorado Springs area because of the altitude and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we needed to get the engine fixed. And so we said, well, while the engine's getting fixed, let's hitchhike to the local university and check it out. Because my friend was thinking, well, he could always transfer college to over to here if he wanted to. So that night we went to sleep, and I did something I've never done, which is I prayed and I said, God, if you're real, show me. And I thought to myself, well, you'll find out tomorrow. And I said, okay. So the next day we were at that university and we were sitting in the quad and I looked up and I saw the girl who we were going to Seattle to meet.
Oh, wow.
And this is in Colorado.
Colorado at the university. She knew we were coming out. She didn't really know when. And I had no clue that she was going to be in Colorado.
Right.
Well, it turns out her mother wanted her to look into going to college there. So her mother hopped in a bus, went to Seattle, picked her daughter up, and they went to Colorado Springs to that university, the University of Colorado. And she just happened to be walking in front of me at the same time that we were sitting there talking. And I looked up and I said to my friend, there's Patty. And he looks up and he goes, that does look like Patty. And I said, no, it is Patty. So at that point, being a computer programmer kind of guy, I figured out what the odds were and thought, well, this is just too fantastic. So I actually became a Christian. We ended up meeting her back in Seattle, Washington, and staying for a few weeks and then going to visit my other friends who also moved to Southern California and became Christians. So that's how I moved to Southern California.
So God answered you.
Yeah.
That's an amazing story, actually.
Yeah. I just whispered or mouthed over to Sheila. So I just had chills.
Mm-hmm. Well, I still do.
Oh, yeah. Sure. How can you not?
And then, as I said, I was a computer programmer, so I had to deal with the facts. So I actually started looking in the Bible and said, well, could this actually be real? Could it have happened? And then I found that it's probably, as far as history goes, not religion, anything else, it's as reliable as any other historical documents from 2,000 years ago.
Yes.
So I'm completely convinced now. It's not something that, you know, happened emotionally. It's something that I'm convinced of intellectually as well.
That's a fantastic story.
Yes, very much so. So you are there, you're working there. Yep. Let's just, when was the first time you went to a Disney park then? Was it at the age of?
It was when I was 20.
Okay.
Went with some friends. I thought, wow, this is great. And then in 79, I got married. And that's when my wife she grew up in Southern California. She was born and raised here. So she's a big Disney fan. So that's when we bought our annual pass. 2001, when DCA was about to open so that we could go to both of them.
Can you remember your first reaction of going into the park?
It was amazing because it was so immersive.
Yeah,
I grew up in the Bronx. We had our own park that was built by somebody who had worked for Disney. It was called Freedom Land, and it was a park about the United States. And I would go there, and that was pretty darned immersive. They would have the Chicago Fire happen every hour on the hour, and you could go. The fire trucks would come, and you would go help pump and put out the fire.
Right.
Disneyland was a whole nother level of that. When I was there, it was like I was not in Southern California anymore.
Well, and I actually, when I was 12 or 13, I lived in the Bronx. We lived right on the on the river. And if you just put your cheek up against the window, you know, looking out on the river, you could actually see the Palisades Park.
Oh, very
lit
nice.
Up. So, yeah. But again, this is, you know, that amazing story. I mean, You know you're going to have to come on again and elaborate on some of these, because you've got a lot that we're not even going to touch on.
Did you, once you've moved, Barry, did you ever feel that you wanted to go back to New York?
Well, yes. And the reason is because I did acting when I was in New York. I did some way off Broadway acting. And I love going to Broadway. So even when we moved out here, we would periodically go back to visit my parents and go to Broadway.
Oh, cool.
So there was that.
I want to go back to you and your magic. You learned magic from, like you said, you know, the TV programs, going to the library and things. When did you take it to the next level where you started performing? How long have you been doing that side of it for you personally?
Well, I started performing probably I was 12 or 13. My parents belonged to a beach club and they had a talent show. So that's where I started. When I was a little older, 15, 16, there was a place in New York called the Magic Townhouse, which is basically a place for magicians to perform. But during the day, they had magic classes. So that's where I took my first magic classes.
Okay.
And so then I kept up with it. I did my own studying and stuff, and I didn't take it seriously until just before the pandemic when I retired. That's when my wife said, you know, you've always wanted to be a member of the Magic Castle. Maybe now is the time, because we'll have time to go up there. We'll have time to do stuff. So I did that. And then I said, well, they give magic classes. You don't even have to be a member to take the magic classes.
Okay.
So I started doing that. And for the last 6 months or so, I've taken 5-6 week long magic classes with professional magicians.
What was your first reaction when you started these lessons? It's like, I mean, what was your thought going into it? It's like, you know, am I going to walk through the wall of China in a week? Or?
I yeah. thought, well, I'm so out of practice. I got a lot to learn. So I put everything I knew aside. And for the level one and level two, you're learning magic tricks. You're learning palming. You're learning all the basics. And the expectation for each, it's a 2-hour class once a week for 6 weeks. And for every class, the expectation is that you'll be practicing every day during the week so that when you come prepared to show what you've done the next week. And then the best classes for me were the classes levels 4 and 5, because that was more performance oriented. In okay. fact, in level 5, they don't teach you any magic tricks at all. All they teach you is how to perform magic, including the instructor was so good. Her name is Kayla Drescher, a professional magician, and she concentrates on how do you build a story for your magic. And I thought, this is just like Disney.
Exactly.
You know, after a while, people get tired of seeing tricks performed.
Correct.
But if you can put a story behind it and connect them together, now you've got something that people are going to remember. And that, to me, was the best part of the whole thing, of how to build a routine that people are going to remember, because not only is it a story, but she concentrates on build a story that means something to you personally.
Now, in your class, we are going to move on to talking about the castle and definitely get back to Disney.
In this, but
I think this is all part of the story. In your class that you've been taking, I don't want to say what's the class size, but is there, you know, quite a few people that's interested in learning magic, would you say?
So they have several different classes at all the different levels. During any particular 6 week period. Before the pandemic, they were only taught in a classroom in the Magic Castle. But once everything shut down, they realized people still wanted to learn magic. So now they've opened it up to Zoom. And the classes were like anywhere from 8 to 4 or 5 people. As you got to level 4 and 5, there were fewer people in the class. But it's great because I've made friends now from people all over the country who are interested in magic.
Am I also correct, or tell me I'm wrong, during my research, Don't they do classes for young kids, like 13 and up, maybe?
Yep, they have a thing called the juniors. And the juniors, I think, are 12 to 19. So you're in there from 13 to 20. And those are for kids who are seriously into magic.
Right.
When I say seriously, I mean you have to audition as a child to get into the juniors. Oh, so you have to be, you have to have some level of proficiency just to get into it. And the reason for that is it's a phenomenal program, especially now that they moved it to Zoom, because they meet once a month, and every month a professional magician gives them a lecture, helps them with their routines. And they've had some amazing magicians. You probably heard of Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
he was a junior before he was Doogie Howser.
Oh, really?
Yes. It's one of those things that amazes me to find out who the magicians who I know now as people my age were juniors when they started. But Neil Patrick Harris not only became a great magician in addition to an actor, he actually was president of the Academy of Magical Arts at one point.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, and he's actually, they had financial difficulties, and he's a big reason that the financials turned around. He was able to bring in fresh blood, so to speak.
And the reason why I'm saying about, you know, the younger age group, the 13-year-olds, is, you know, if there's kids out there, I'm sure, like you were, you know, watching Disney programs.
Well, it's part of growth.
Yes. It's like
replenish them.
Just to let, you know, people know that this is out there. MagicCastle.com. I'm sure, you know, if any listeners, you need to go and check this site out. It's an amazing site.
It really is.
So let me say, the reason the juniors stop at 20 is because you have to go to the Magic Castle in the evening, and when there's no pandemic, they're open 7 nights a week. You have to be 21 or older. So the juniors, they still get to perform at the Magic Castle because, again, when things open up in another month, I'm hoping, we have weekend brunches for families.
Oh, nice.
So you can bring kids, and the close-up performer at every brunch is somebody from the juniors group.
Oh, wow.
And then once a year, in the evenings, the juniors take over all the showrooms in the Magic Castle and do all the performances for 1 week.
That's got to be popular.
It's amazing. So the reason juniors stop at 20 is because at 21, you can become a regular member of the Magic Castle.
Right, right. So what is one of your favorite things to see when you're there?
My favorite things to see are magicians. I live during rush hour 2.5 to 3 hours away from the Magic Castle.
Oh, okay.
So it's not the kind of thing where, oh, let's go to the Magic Castle tonight. It's, I wonder if there's somebody worth driving 3 hours to see.
Okay.
And there usually is, but we have to put a stop to it somewhere rather than driving up there every week.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example of what it's like. The number of performances is staggering. In the Magic Castle, it's a Victorian mansion. It was built in 1909. And it actually grew since the Academy of Magical Arts took it over. There are 5 main showrooms, all of them featuring magic. And when things are back to normal, they generally have 2 different performers every night in each showroom. So that's 10 different magicians that you could see if you time it correctly and you stay all night.
Right.
So timing it correctly is like planning a trip to Walt Disney World.
Okay.
Because there are lines to get into every show, and the more popular ones have longer lines.
No fast passes?
There is one way to get a fast pass to one show.
Oh.
So, so there's also an excellent restaurant at the Magic Castle. Wasn't always excellent, but there's a new chef. Came in just before the pandemic, and the food's great. We were just there last week. And if you're I'll get into this at the end when I can tell people how to get into the Magic Castle. But if you have dinner there, you'll get a ticket to go see the show in the main showroom. So the main showroom holds about 150 people. It's called the Palace of Mystery, and that has large stage acts. So that's the kind of thing where you see big illusions on stage. You might see animals. You'll see people disappearing, appearing, getting poked with swords, anything you can imagine. And you'll generally get a ticket for that. For if you eat early, the 8 o'clock show, if you eat later, the 10 o'clock show. So that guarantees that if you get there in time, you'll get a seat. And then they have a waiting area for people who are waiting, who didn't have dinner, for example, and don't have a ticket. So that one you'll guarantee to see at least one show. Next door to that, most people leave and then they get in line for the next one. That's called the Parlor of Prestidigitation. So there's stage magic, and there's what's called parlor magic. That's generally where a magician is in front of a smaller audience. In this case, it's about 52 people. And there's generally a table there, and they're standing up and performing magic. It's more intimate than stage magic, but it's not the most intimate. The most intimate room is the close-up room. That holds about 26 people, including people who are standing on the sides. And there's also a chair on either side of the close-up table. The magician sits there. He might have two spectators come and join him. And he does magic literally right before your eyes. That, out of everything, is my favorite showroom.
Oh, yeah. So, go ahead. Sorry.
Then there's a bar magician who works generally down in the cellar, because we have five bars at the Magic Castle. And one of them is in the cellar. And then there's another small showroom down in the cellar. And then there's another room called the Peller Theater, which normally has magicians who are working like in pairs. And a lot of times they're trying out new material.
I think I'm correct. And I don't think you've said it. There is a dress code for
Oh, yeah. There's a serious dress code.
Right.
Suit and tie. No denim, no deck shoes. They don't publicize it, but they do have loner jackets. I think they might have loner shoes.
Oh, that's like Victorian Albert's.
Yeah, like Victorian Albert's.
Like Victorian Albert's that way. But what they say on the website is, if you're not sure if you're dressed up enough, then get dressed up some more.
Yeah.
Because it's an elegant
good
place.
Good way to put it.
And they're trying to keep, it's been that way since the beginning. There's also, along with that, not just a dress code, but a very serious no photography, no autographs. Because from the beginning, the brothers who started it, Milt and Bill Larson Jr., they worked in Hollywood. Bill Larson was a producer and worked on a lot of TV shows. And Milt was a writer for Truth and Consequences when he came up with the idea of the Magic Castle. And so they had a lot of Hollywood connections. So one of the first members was Cary Grant, for example. Cool. And he's credited with starting the no photography, no autographs rule. Because they knew that you have Orson Welles would go there. When my wife and I have been there, we've seen Zooey Deschanel there. And people just treat them like normal people. You know, they don't get mobbed. They can go there and be themselves.
That's a pretty darn good rule.
So, I mean, it's certainly, and that's why I was asking about the dress code, because, you know, you have these magicians, you have the bars, you also have the ambiance, I would say. I don't know if that's the right word to use, but I mean, this isn't, you know, oh, you go and see a magic show in your, you know, torn t-shirt and jeans. This is, this is classy. There is one question. And as I said, most of the information, Barry, that I've got off from the internet and no more. But I did read somewhere that the lobby of the castle itself has no visible doors to the interior, and visitors must say a secret phrase to something. I don't know if I can say that or not, but I'll just leave it as that. You have to have a secret code to get in, and then the doors slide open or whatever, from what I'm reading. when I read this, actually, my first thought was it reminded me of the Haunted Mansion. There are no windows, the spiel. But is that correct that, you know, you go into the lobby area?
It is correct. It's more a reception area with the world's smallest gift shop.
Oh. Oh, I love it.
Because the way the Magic Castle was built on over the years when they needed more room, they actually had a parking lot that they turned into where the current Palace of Mystery is, for example. And the joke is that the Magic Castle is larger on the inside than it is on the outside. If that's true, the gift shop is smaller on the inside than it is on the outside. It's the world's most tiny gift shop in the reception area. You go, you check in, and then you go over to the owl on the bookcase. And this is a good segue into the Disney aspects of the Magic Castle, because this is very Disney-like. When you say Haunted Mansion, you don't know how close you are to the truth.
Oh.
I'll explain that in a minute. Great. So you go, and you go to the owl, and you say the magic password, loud enough for the owl to hear. His eyes light up. He turns. And the bookcase slides open.
Oh, how cool.
And you walk into the Magic Castle.
Wow.
In fact, this year for members, they started an online show. During the pandemic, there were two different shows a week about magic. It was interviews and it was performances and all sorts of things. And that Zoom meeting was called Behind the Bookcase, because that's how you get into the Magic Castle.
Right. Okay.
Now, when I say it's like the Haunted Mansion, so there have been a lot of Imagineers over the years who've been members of the Magic Castle. Do you know who Yale Gracie is?
Absolutely.
Gracie Mansion in Walt Disney World?
Oh, yeah.
He was a member. And he donated to the Magic Castle a small working demo, and I mean small, like 18 inches wide, of the Pepper's Ghost illusion that they use in the ballroom. So if you know about it and you go down to the cellar, along the wall is this small inlay and there's a button you can push. A video comes on to tell you about it. And then they show you the demo. Lights come on and they show you the demo of a ghost running around a room.
And that was from Yale.
It's a live working Pepper's Ghost illusion.
Before you actually joined Barry, did you know there was like Disney connections to the Magic Castle?
That's pretty funny. So I didn't know the first time I ever went. So I went years before I joined.
Right.
I actually had a friend who was a cast member at Disneyland. She worked at Jungle Cruise. And she was a magician member of the Magic Castle. Hmm. And we were talking. I said, "Well, I'd really like to go there." She goes, "Wow, I'd really like somebody to drive me there because I don't have a car." So,
and magic happens.
My wife and I, my wife's cousin, her husband, drove our friend to the Magic Castle, and she got us in. And didn't learn a lot about the Disney connections that night, but I thought it was interesting when we were waiting for our car at Valet on the way out. They had Muzak playing. And it was all Sherman Brothers tunes. And I go, well, this is kind of strange. It turns out, so there's two brothers who started the Magic Castle, Bill Larson Jr. and Milt Larson. Their father was a criminal defense attorney in the 1920s. He was kind of the F. Lee Bailey. He was the Johnny Cochran of his time. He worked with mafia and everything. And he decided he would rather perform magic, which is what he did in his spare time. So he quit being a lawyer, and he went on the road with his wife and two kids, Milt and Bill Jr., across the United States performing magic as the Larson family. And he, before that, was a contributor to a magic magazine, and then he started his own magic magazine called Genie, the Conjurer's Magazine. It's still in print today. Every month, there's a new edition of Genie Magazine.
Wow.
And he got this idea of starting the Academy of Magical Arts. When he decided to do it, he made everybody who was a subscriber to his magazine the first member of the Academy of Magical Arts. But then it turns out after he died, the magazine went on, but the Academy of Magical Arts kind of faded away until his sons got into it. Milt, as I said, worked at Truth or Consequences. His office faced where the mansion was. It was originally called the Holly Chateau. It was owned by Roland and Kathleen and Catherine Lane, and it fell on hard times. After the Lanes died, the castle became an old folks' home. Then it got turned into apartments and got really seedy. So that by the late 50s, it was not doing well. So Milt got this idea of how about reviving the Academy of Magical Arts and starting a clubhouse for it. And he talked to the owner, and that's how the Magic Castle got started. He renovated it and got it all going. And there's a reason I was telling this story.
Well, no, it's the history.
Connected. You were talking about the music to the Sherman Brothers.
So it turns out that Milt Larson and his brother Bill Jr. So Bill Jr. was kind of like the Roy Disney, and Milt Larson was kind of like the Walt Disney with the vision.
Yeah.
They both built the whole thing, and it couldn't have been done without both of them, just like Disneyland.
Yeah.
And Milt had a friend, Richard Sherman, from the Sherman Brothers. They've been friends for 60 years, more than 60 years. Milt Larson this past spring celebrated his 90th birthday.
Wow.
The Magic Castle threw him an online Zoom party. It was great. And so he's friends with Richard Sherman. They actually wrote stage shows, Broadway style stage shows. They wrote one for the Andrew Sisters.
Okay.
And it ran in Hollywood and then moved to San Diego. And he and Richard Sherman put out a couple of albums of music, all satirical, all funny.
Really?
So they were really good friends. If you go to the Magic Castle, when you leave the parlor of the Palace of Mystery, go a little bit to the right, on the wall is a tribute to Richard Sherman. And so those ties run pretty deep there.
I'm going to have to look some of that up because that's, I mean, well, first of all, Richard Sherman, what has he not been a part of? I mean, really? I mean, every time, you know, it's like, oh, and this is a brand new story I've never heard of. And it's like, oh, yeah, all right, well, you know, Dick Sherman was here. We, you know, we did this and we did that. I mean, he just produces things out of his brain that's just amazing.
Yep.
And then people don't even realize that it's him. So, I mean.
Richard was Milt's best man at Milt's wedding.
Oh, wow.
And now for everybody who's listening, they'll have to go to Disney Plus and watch Bedknobs and Broomsticks. In the Portobello Road scene, there's an extra. He's wearing a bowler hat and has a black mustache. And that's Milt Larson.
And I did. I just watched that like 3 months ago.
Now I want to go and see it just so I can say, oh, yeah.
I love that song, too. Portobello Road.
So... how about Steve Martin? Do you know about him?
Oh, well, we know, of course, who he is.
Well, did you know he worked at Merlin's Magic Shop in Disneyland?
I did.
Yes.
Know that.
And the only reason why I knew that, Barry, was Steve and I had done a special episode some time ago, Disneyland in 1956.
Future Radio.
Yeah. And that's where I came across that information. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, no, I wouldn't have known. But
so, yep, he did. He was a member of the Magic Castle. And way back when Johnny Carson was still the Tonight Show, before he went on it, he was working out a magic routine called the Great Flydini. And he debuted that and tested it out at the Magic Castle before he went on Johnny Carson. You never know who or what you're going to see there. And so, yeah, lots of magicians try out stuff there because it's a friendly place, right? It's
right.
Half the audience is probably magicians.
And being there, you never know who you might see on television someday.
That is also especially, true.
Especially nowadays.
I always try to double check my facts when I, you know, do a bit of homework. But I had a bit of trouble with some of these things, but I've got it here that there's nearly 2,500 magician members in the Academy today. That's magicians and right. a membership of over 5,000.
That is correct. Okay. As of just before the pandemic.
Right.
So during the pandemic, we weren't taking new members, and some members dropped out, unfortunately. So it's probably a little lighter now, but that's the numbers that I've heard as well.
Okay. Now, if I went to Disneyland, I'm not sort of, don't know California very well. If I'm at Disneyland, how far away is this castle from the castle I'm seeing?
Depends on traffic, an hour or less.
Oh, so it's pretty close then.
Yeah, it could be a half hour if there's 40 minutes if there's absolutely no traffic.
Right.
So you could, if you were coming to Disneyland, you could do both.
Yeah,
that would be cool.
I've just got to find someone that will say those magical words to the owl.
Book it. Oh, that part.
I think you know somebody who could help.
I'm sure I can find someone.
Before I forget, let me tell you about another Imagineering kind of touch.
Oh, great.
And so when you go in through the bookcase, you're in this big grand lobby, the Grand Salon. To your right are the stairs that were original to the house that lead up to the dining rooms. There's several of them. In front of you is a long bar. And behind the bar is a room with a piano stool, a piano with a vase of flowers on it, and a birdcage in the corner. And if you were to go in there and, just like Disneyland, you can get a Magic Castle Happy Birthday pin. The piano might start playing Happy Birthday for you.
Wow.
If you leave the room, the piano might start playing the goodbye tune from the Von Trapp family from Sound of Music.
Right.
And if you stay there, this piano is being played by Irma, our resident invisible ghost. So the legend is, and because everything has a backstory,
yes.
Irma, when the original owners were there, Irma was a neighborhood friend who'd come over and play the piano until the owner got sick of hearing the piano being played. And then he banished her from playing the piano, moved the piano up to the third floor where there's currently just offices. So when Milt redid it, he found this piano and brought it downstairs. And Irma, when she was banished from playing the piano, vowed to come back after she died and play it. And that's what she did. So now every night, except when we're recovering from a pandemic, Irma sits at the piano and plays, and she takes requests. I don't know if she's ever been stumped, but if you look carefully, it's one of those round piano stools. It moves, the piano plays. If you leave a tip in the bird cage, the bird sings, and Irma will converse with you in songs, right?
Okay.
Right, because that's all she can do. She can't talk.
Right.
But my favorite part is on the piano, there's a vase. And when Irma takes a break, all the flowers in the vase wilt.
Oh, that's so cool.
Oh, wow.
And when she comes back, the flowers perk back up so that you know she's there because you can't see her.
Never mind magicians. What Disney Imagineers has worked in this castle? Because this is sounding so much like Disney in so many aspects.
I can't tell you that. Yale Gracie is the only one that I know by name, except I have an actual friend who was a friend of a friend that I found out, and he's a magician member of the Magic Castle, and he's been a magician member for decades and decades. Like I want to say 50 years, but I may be wrong. Wow. But he was a former Imagineer. He retired. You might have, if you went out to Disneyland and went to Toontown, you might see his work. He's a graphics artist. He's got beautiful penmanship, and he can sign things just like Mickey Mouse. So if you go to Toontown in Disneyland and you see Mickey Mouse's signature, that's my friend Lewis.
Oh, neat.
And yeah, he's like one of the nicest guys in the world. I've just been learning magic, and he's volunteered to come to my shows and watch it and then give me some pointers. And so
cool.
Just a great guy.
Now, was it easy for you to become a member?
Well, to become a member takes a few things. You actually have to fill out a form about yourself, including why you're interested in magic and why you should be. One of the questions is, why should we consider you for a membership? Because the mission is not people who like to watch magic. The mission of the Academy of Magical Arts is to further the art of magic and keep it alive. Oh. And so you have to explain why you want to become a member. You have to have a sponsor who's willing to sponsor you, and they have to fill out a sheet about you personally. And my favorite question about that was, would you invite this person over to your house for dinner? You have to have that kind of relationship with them for your sponsor.
Right.
So I was privileged. You might not know the name Dana Daniels. He's a magician. After Wally Bogue retired, he was one of the traveling salesmen in the Golden Horseshoe Review at Disneyland.
Okay, maybe that's where I know the name. Yeah.
And he was a magician. He did a magic show at the Golden Horseshoe at one point called The No Show. I've seen it several times. And he does it every year at the Magic Castle. It's hysterical. And then he did strolling walk-around magic at Frontierland as well. And so I was privileged enough to have him as my sponsor.
Wow.
Yeah, he's great. So you have to have a sponsor. You have to fill out the paperwork. Sponsor has to fill out the paperwork. And then it's like Club 33. You pay an initiation fee, and the initiation fee is much less than Club 33.
I was going to ask.
and you pay a yearly annual dues.
Okay.
The interesting thing, so if you want to become a member, the interesting thing is if you live and work more than 60 miles from the Magic Castle, you can apply to be a non-resident member, and it's a little bit less expensive. One other thing. If you're a magician member, you have to audition. And I've talked to folks, and I'm preparing to audition hopefully by the end of the year. It could be nerve-wracking because you never know who's going to be on the committee to judge the audition. And it could be some of the most famous people in magic.
Wow.
And it's almost always going to be somebody who you immensely respect.
Sure.
So that's how you become a member.
Let me ask you this then, since you just now brought it up. Who are some of the magicians that you extremely respect?
Wow. That's a loaded question because I'm going to forget somebody.
Well, no. So, all right.
The ones I respect, that's okay. I can do it. The ones I respect may not be ones that you've necessarily heard of.
Well, no. That's why I wanted.
So one of them is Jeff McBride. He became famous in the 80s when he did mask illusions, where he'd put his hand in front of his face and his mask would change. So he did all these kabuki kind of things.
Right.
He has a magic and mystery school in Las Vegas that trains the best magicians in the world. That's his calling, is to train magicians and do magic. And so, we got time for one more story?
Sure. Oh,
yes. Okay. Go for it.
So one time, my wife puts up with this, and I can't thank her enough.
Yeah.
So one time we had tickets to see a taping of a show called Masters of Illusion. Mm-hmm. They're 30-minute episodes with 5 or 6 minutes of different magicians. And we went to the taping, and we were sitting there, and my wife turns to me and says, "Do you know Jeff McBride?" And I said, "I know who he is." She goes, no, "Do you know Jeff McBride?" I said, "I'm a friend on Facebook with thousands of other people. Why?" And she says, "Because he's staring at you. And he was walking through the audience before the taping, and he was staring at me." So I looked over at him, and he came over and asked if I would be willing to help him with a magic trick when it was his turn to perform. And I tried to stop myself from jumping out of the seat and shouting. So I did, and you can catch it on Vimeo. If you Google Jeff McBride Bravo, B-R-A-V-O, Masters of Illusion, it'll come up. And it was great. So when I saw he was performing at the Magic Castle, I sent him a DM and said, do you think you can put me on your guest list? Because that's one of the ways to get into the Magic Castle. If a performer puts you on their guest list, you can go to the Magic Castle and don't have to pay to enter, don't have to have dinner or anything. And he said, sure, I'd love to do that. Well, we were sitting out. He was in the close-up room to do his show. And we were sitting outside the close-up room. My wife's usually in a wheelchair. Anyway, always in a wheelchair at the Magic Castle because she has trouble walking and going up and down stairs. And so what they do is they're great. They just reserve two seats right by the exit for us so she can just go and sit right down there. And while we were waiting to go in and everybody was in line, we were sitting and I put a Facebook message up saying, hey, waiting to go in and see Jeff McBride. And not 5 minutes later, Jeff McBride's come out to say hello to us. And it's like, we felt like royalty.
Yeah.
So he's definitely on my list of magicians. He's made an impact in so many people's lives. I also have to thank two magicians. So I said, I've been taking five classes over the last 6 months. Kayla Drescher is one of the magicians who's helped me immensely. She's done the performance workshop for me with me. So if you see my Zoom show, a lot of the credit for that is to her. And then Harrison Lampert is another magician who, again, his strengths are both magic and improv. And so he helped me as well. I mean, there's Lance Burton, who's a phenomenal magician. And like I said, if I either I have to keep going for an hour or
You can send over a list of everyone. We'll put it in the show notes. But you just mentioned something, Kayla Drescher.
Mm-hmm.
You don't, in magic, from our end now, we're looking at it as we're watching, you don't see a lot of women magicians. They're usually the standby or the helper or, you know, the assistant. How many have you been able to watch or work with female women or
female women?
Female women. So that's a really interesting thing. And I would urge, I don't know if it's available on Amazon. I got my copy from the Magic Castle. There's a documentary called Women in Boxes about the female magician assistant.
Okay.
As told by the female magician assistants of the great magicians.
Whoa.
Some of them are married to them, some aren't. Right. The best ones are partners, right?
Right.
We hope. There are a lot of women magicians. They just don't get they just for some reason don't get the airplay. I'm waiting for a female magician to become as famous as David Copperfield.
Yeah, no joke.
It's getting more and more like that. But for so many centuries, literally, magic was a male-dominated art.
Yes.
It was completely male-dominated. What I learned from Kayla, for example, is a lot of magic, stage magic, requires pockets. And women don't have pockets, usually. Oh. Right?
Yeah.
So they're at a disadvantage. Kayla gets over that because she uses a purse.
I was just thinking that. That's what,
okay. But you have to do things differently.
Okay.
And who's teaching magic? Generally, it's men.
Right.
And they're teaching men's style of magic because that's what they know. It's all they can do. So Kayla has a podcast. And it's basically a feminist magician podcast. I think you can find it at Shezam, Shezam. That's the name of the podcast, shezampod.com. If you want to find her on the internet, it's magicinheels.com.
Oh, that's nice. That's funny.
But there was a famous magician called Shimada. His wife was a magician, and there's lots of magicians who are women. They just don't get as famous for whatever reason.
You know what, Barry? I mean, I watch America's Got Talent. I've been watching it ever since it came out, I think. I cannot recall one woman magician in all that time I've been watching it.
Yeah.
I could be wrong, but...
Well, that's why the best show on television is Penn & Teller's Fool Us.
I've seen quite a few of those. And I do, it's funny because it's like, I don't want to be ruined.
Oh.
But then, I know, then I started watching, it's like, oh, this is really good. They don't ruin it.
No, they absolutely don't ruin it. And if you know magic, you can sometimes understand what they're saying. Not always, but sometimes.
Right. No, most of the time when they've done stuff, I was like, I have no idea what they're talking about, but that's cool.
Well, I'll tell you the secret. The secret is it's not a competition show. Everybody on there might want to fool Penn and Teller. That's not the reason they're there.
Okay.
They're invited to be on Fool Us because Penn and Teller want to showcase some of the best magic in the world. Okay. So yeah. There are sometimes magicians on there and they go, he didn't fool me or she didn't fool me. I'm pretty sure if they didn't fool me, they're not going to fool Penn and Teller. But that's not right. Why they're on there. They're on there because Penn and Teller want to showcase them. Cool. And if you notice, whenever you watch it, they never have anything negative to say about the people on their show.
No.
It's always effusive, accurate, but effusive praise.
Yep. Yeah. It's like, I saw this, but, you know, you need to work on this other thing. So, yeah, it's always been a positive. And I haven't seen it in over a year. So, yeah, I was like, oh, because I am one of those people that when I'm, and I haven't been around magicians very much over the past 5 or 6 years, but I am one of those that I don't sit there and go, how did he do that? Oh, or try to figure it out. I enjoy it. I just enjoy it, you know? Trying to figure it out is like looking behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I want to have fun. I want to enjoy.
I'd like to know how the magicians can read read my mind through the TV screen. Because that's happened so many times. It has. It's like, wow, okay.
The current vice president of the Academy is one of the people who I think must have started. His name is Max Maven.
Oh, yeah.
And he's the guy who started with, put your finger over here.
Yes.
Now go over. Yeah, that was, yeah.
Oh, I know that name. Maybe.
I haven't met him in person yet, but I have seen him on Zoom. Yeah, he's currently the vice president of the Academy of Magical Arts.
Oh, wow. He's kind of a totally interesting looking guy, as I remember, too.
He's unique.
Yeah.
He is. He's got that goatee and the little widow's peak, and he still looks the same as he did in the 70s.
Yeah, Max Fay. I remember him. One of the few names, other than the big ones that were on TV, but still.
But that's the part where I kick myself, because I can get to know these guys as real people, not as people who are on television.
Yeah. I mean, Barry, you're part of the crowd.
It's another case of I know them, they don't know me.
You know, that'll change.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got both feet in the front door, bookcase sliding door, whatever.
Oh, so another before I forget.
Okay.
You probably do know one of our most famous members. I'll let you guess. I'll give you a hint. This member made his movie premiere in 1928.
28? Mm-hmm.
28. You want another hint?
Mickey?
It's going to be a big one. It was in a movie called Plain Crazy.
Mickey? Minnie?
Yes. Mickey.
Okay. Well, Minnie was in that one too.
So the reason I know, and okay. I hadn't noticed this in the times I've been there, but I just found out. They just redecorated the entire castle on the inside with different posters. Because what happened is over the years, they put posters up, but as they acquired them and there was no theme. So now they took all the posters down and they put things up with a theme. So when you're walking towards the big showroom, the Palace of Mystery, the hallway you walk down on the left side has magicians starting in the 19th century posters. On the right side opposite that, current magicians. So there's themed. And I found there's a portrait of Mickey Mouse. And the reason I know he's a member is because when you become a member, you get a little member pin to wear on your lapel or on your dress. And non-magician associate members get a silver pin, and magician members get a gold pin, so you can tell them apart. And Mickey Mouse, his portrait was done by Disney animators, and he's wearing his gold membership pin.
Oh, wow.
Which to me is kind of appropriate because, I mean, I don't know if I call him the master of magic, but he's up there.
I thought Sorcerer Mickey would have passed the audition.
Well, if Yen Sid would let him, yeah, maybe so.
So, Barry, I mean, you're doing this, you know, retraining or refreshing, you know, your magic. Where are you going to go with this anywhere? Or is this just something you want to do in retirement for you and just you?
I might have thought it was for me and just me at the beginning.
Okay.
Like I said earlier, I grew up in New York. I did off Broadway. I love acting. And I knew when I was taking the classes after the first one, where the end of the class was you put together, I put together a 20-minute performance. I said, well, it's like cooking. It's fine to do it for yourself, but it's much more fun to do it for other people. And so I thought I'm going to put together, I challenged myself that by the end of the class, if the instructor thought I was good enough, I put together a Zoom show for friends. So I did that. It was so much fun. I did two of them. Was it perfect? No. Was it fun? Yes. And I sent out a survey afterwards to find out what people thought, and most people really seemed to enjoy it. So my goal for this last class was, again, putting together another Zoom show. And I'm thinking every 2 months is probably a good time. I'm going to try and keep that up. My goal is to audition to become a magician member at the Magic Castle by the end of the year, if I can. You don't always make it the first time.
Right.
And then if I do that, then I can put together a show, and they have what's called impromptu tables where you can go that night and schedule yourself for a 20-minute set, and just people can just gather around and sit at the table and watch you perform, which is why they have auditions, because they don't want people who don't know what they're doing or who are going to reveal how the tricks are done performing.
Right.
So that's my midterm goal.
That's cool.
Now, you posted something to our Monorail Tales group, because you do have two upcoming shows, I do believe, this Sunday and next Wednesday.
Thursday.
I signed up.
I'm personally giving in my RSVP. Thank you very much, Stephen Sanders.
Okay.
Stop talking, because you make me forget what I was about to say.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And in the post, you make the comment, this is something like family magic, but it's not kids' magic. So
it's family friendly. Kids can watch
that's it.
And they'll enjoy it. But it's not kiddie magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, pull the coin from behind your ear kind of magic.
Right. I just wanted clarification on that. But
yep,
yeah,
it's the kind of magic that kids might enjoy if they enjoy watching magic. But I didn't put it together for kids. I put it together for everyone. But I'm never going to do a show that kids won't be able to watch.
Right,
right.
And even at the Magic Castle, where it's all adults, by the end of the evening, many of them have been drinking. Because, as I said, there are five bars, which is also why I usually they're open till 2 a.m. And I usually leave about 11 and 11:30 because some people get out of hand. But even there at the Magic Castle, performers, they might have more adult material, but they don't work blue, for example.
Okay.
So even there, it's pretty good.
This place sounds so amazing. Wow, it really does.
Yeah. Yeah, Sheila's been going on about this for 3 days with me, and now I am totally enthralled. And I'm sorry, I'm a person, when I go to Anaheim, I'm in Anaheim, I'm at Disney. I don't even hit Knott's Berry, but you know what? I can guarantee you that the next time we go, we love to visit this.
Yeah.
Appropriate wear, though.
Yeah, oh, so, yeah. No, they can lend you a jacket. Barry said they could.
I took a friend 2 weeks ago. It was on their bucket list. They live in the Orlando area. And he said, yes, I do have a suit. I wore it when I got married.
Well, he's doing better than me because I don't think I've got mine anymore.
Oh, that was a big thing with the pandemic ending and the Magic Castle opening again. I had to make sure my suits were in the dry cleaners and still fit.
Yeah.
Well, you've hit, like, out of three, you've got two items that are me. My three items is, I love photography, so that would be out if I ever went to the castle.
Yeah.
But the other two you hit, and that is history. I love history. And I love Disney. And, you know, when you can kind of somewhat combine the both, that's,
you like magic. You love magic.
Well, that's what I'm saying. About? You know, the history, the Disney magic. Yeah. The only one that I can't get ticked off was photography, because there's no photographs allowed.
So if you come to my Zoom show, I have one demonstration where I use photographs.
I'm RSVPing, by the way, right here and now. Before I forget.
I signed up before we went on, because I didn't realize it till I was doing the research at lake time. And I was like, oh, wait a minute, here it is. I mean, I knew you were having it, but I was like, I didn't realize how to get on. So I was like, oh, I found it. I better do it now. So yeah, I'm logged. I'm actually logged in for both nights because it's not that I'm reviewing you, but it's always good to see it things twice. At least twice. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I have a friend, a magician friend, who's also a math professor, which is amazing, who came to both my shows last time so she could give me helpful notes.
Yeah.
And they were helpful, so that's great. So, yeah, I'll be doing one trick that uses photographs and another trick that you couldn't guess what it uses.
Okay.
So I wanted to make sure, I didn't want them all to be card tricks, you know? Card tricks are kind of easy. It's hard to find other tricks that work on Zoom. Do you think anybody would want to know how to get into the Magic Castle?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You did say that earlier.
Well,
on.
No problem.
Yeah.
So we talked about the first way. You can audition to become a member, or you can apply, if you have a sponsor, to become an associate member. Okay?
Okay.
You do that. Then there's only fees for parking, and it's the cheapest parking in Hollywood, and you get a huge discount if you're a member. Another way is you can attend with a member. So I have guests who come out. When you come out, if I'm free, I'll be glad to bring you. If you do that, again, you can eat dinner there, but you don't have to once things are back to normal. If you're going now, you have to actually they require you to have dinner. But probably next month, it'll be more back to normal. If you're a member or you go with a member, you can just walk in. In fact, there's a non-member line and there's a member line, which is like you just walk in. So if you go with a member, you can go on the member line. A member can give you a guest card. There are physical guest cards that are good till the end of the year. And then there are email guest cards. So I can email somebody a guest card and that's good for 6 months. You have to call and make a reservation for dinner. You have to pay a door charge. Don't know whether it's going to be when they reopen, but when they were just before the pandemic, it was $25 on weeknights and $35 on Fridays and Saturdays per person. But that's another way to get in. You can get a guest card if you know somebody. If you know somebody's performing, they can put you on their guest list, and then you just give your name when you get there. you can take a class at the Magic Castle. If you take a class at the Magic Castle, you can go and see the performances while you're there. And you don't have to, you don't have to pay for that, because you're basically paying for the class, and that's covering it while you're taking the class. Taking the class, by the way, doesn't help you. It might help you become a better magician, but it has nothing to do with the audition. Right. So it's not like they look and see, did you take the class? Oh, I'm going to be easier on you.
Right.
The last way might be the easiest. There's a hotel literally next door. They share a driveway. And it's called the Magic Castle Hotel. It has nothing to do with the Magic Castle. Magic Castle doesn't get anything from them. They're not related to it, except that the owner, I believe, is a member. So if you stay at the Magic Castle Hotel, he can give you a guest pass. So people who stay there can go, if there's room at dinner, they can go next door and just walk over to the Magic Castle. I believe those are all the ways to get into the Magic Castle. But the one thing you can't do is just show up.
Right.
That's a guaranteed way to make sure you don't get in.
Yeah. That's about like it is at Disney parks now.
Yes. That's true.
You have to have a reservation, and you have to have a ticket. And...
I do know, like we said, you know, you got two shows coming up. I'm left with, and I always have to do this, I always have to ask one last question. Okay. I know you have, for pets, you have cats, okay? Do you have white rabbits by any chance as well in your backyard?
No, I do not have. We have rabbits around outside, but the coyotes keep them in check.
Yeah.
But funny you should mention that, because a woman who is in my last few magic classes with me, and to answer your question about women magicians, the classes I've been in, about 50% women.
Oh,
wow.
And this last one, I put together a performance based on my personality. She put together a performance based on Alice in Wonderland.
Oh. Okay.
And she had the hat. She had the whole getup. And part of her performance had her literally pulling. She has a rabbit. She has a bearded dragon lizard. And part of the performance for her final was pulling a rabbit out of her huge Mad Hatter hat.
Oh, cool.
That is neat. I like that.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. If you're up to it's a quick, fast round.
No, that's good.
Oh, you're good.
We'll do that, and then we'll close out with the dates.
With the dates and where we can find you. So let's do the Disney.
Let's get the
quick round of Disney questions, and then we'll go back and get the most important information from you, Barry, if that's all right. Okay. Which is your favorite Disney park?
Oh, I hardly ever get there, but I think I have to say Epcot.
I miss that.
I don't ever say it. It gets the most. It's the most interesting park for me, being a computer science kind of guy, because they have the technology part of it, and loving eating from whatever country I can. They've got that half as well.
Yeah.
Problem is, I'm going back in November for the first time in 12 years. Because it's hard to justify Walt Disney World when you live an hour from Disneyland.
Yeah.
So you're going for D23?
Yeah, we're going for if we can get tickets, we're going for the Destination D.
I will see you there.
That's another benefit of being retired. We decided we can do everything we want.
Cool.
Actually, just staying with Epcot, which is your favorite pavilion?
For dinner, it's France. It's the two restaurants, it's the upscale one.
Yeah.
And then, other than that, it's probably the technology portion. I don't know what they call it anymore. Spaceship Earth. It used to be Innoventions West and East.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your favorite Disney ride?
I love soaring over whatever it soars over now.
Yeah. Do you have a one that you like more than the other at all?
Oh, well, I'm going to have to tell you, I've not seen anything but Soarin' Over California.
Okay. I mean, I love both of them, but I love Soarin' Over California.
I love the technology. I think it's the most innovative thing. It's like you're really flying.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Sheila's going to have to say this. I have someone here that can't stand the drop at Pirates.
Yeah, whoa, oh, that's so big.
It's a 40-foot drop.
And I hate flying.
Yes.
But I do love the ride. So, you know, I'll suck it up and I'll go on the ride, but I'm gripping, okay?
Yeah, I sit one seat over. So I have blood left in my hands.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I'm usually okay until, I think it was on the old version, not this one, when the fireworks would go off. I used to hate that bit where the seat would just, like...
Oh, well, that and the fact that you were flying down five at night, and it would kind of... You get a little vertigo.
There was something.
I get vertigo.
But I think it was also the seat kind of shook. Like the, oh, what do they call it?
Bang.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I go on it. But yeah, that one scares me. Okay, one attraction that is no longer in the parks that you miss. Or maybe there isn't anything.
No, I'm sure there is attraction that I miss. I try not to dwell on those. I'm going to take a pass. I got to think about this one longer than a minute.
That's fine. I'll tell you one thing I miss at Magic Kingdom is Toontown. And when I came up to Disneyland.
Our Toontown.
Yeah, sorry. Our Magic Kingdom. When I came up to Disneyland, I was just in heaven. You know, the houses and, oh, yeah. That's one thing I miss.
Okay, so I'll take the easy road. So okay. I miss that there's no longer a magic shop at the Magic Kingdom in Walt Disney World.
You know, I keep
forgetting. We still have one up here. We almost lost it, but we still have it.
Yeah. I always make it a point to go through that.
That's what gets kids interested in magic.
Yeah.
Is seeing it by a real life human.
Yep.
What was the bar that we went to?
Oh, have you been to Abracadabar yet?
No, because we haven't been to Walt Disney World in 12 years.
Oh, gosh, it's been that long. Okay.
Have you heard about it, though?
I have. I remember reading about it when it opened.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
There's some neat things in there. It's small. It's
really problem small. Is, after the Magic Castle, it'll be a letdown.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Hey, but go for the fries, because they're good.
That's okay.
True. Yeah.
The truffle fries are great. I've copied them.
Okay, do you have Disney Plus?
We do.
Okay, you're down to your last two questions, Barry, and then you can relax. What was the last show or movie that you watched on Disney Plus?
Loki, because it comes out every week now.
Yeah, I did too. I didn't make it through it last night. No spoilers. No spoilers.
with all my practicing, I don't generally get to it till Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I tried. I had time last night, and... I started and I was like, I cannot going to make this one.
And for your last question, what cast member's role would you like to do for a day?
That's another easy one. I would love to be a cook at Napa Rose.
Oh, we've never had a cook before.
I've actually, so another short story. So... We used to have a real good wine and food festival at DCA.
Right.
And then we didn't. Right. But while we did, for the 6 weeks of the wine and food festival, every Saturday and Sunday, I think it was Saturday and Sunday, they would do Napa Rose Cooking School, where you could sign up and take a class and basically mm-hmm. learn how to make the four-course winemaker wine country dinner. So they have a prefix wine country dinner. Last time we went, it was $100. Mm-hmm. You get there in the morning. They teach you how to make two things, and then you make it in their kitchen with their sous chefs helping you.
Ooh.
And the sous chefs aren't allowed to do anything, though. They get points, and they get demerits if they actually touch the food or utensil. They can help you, but they can't touch.
Okay.
And then they teach you how to make two other courses that they make. And then you get to eat the whole thing, including the food you make. And so I would see this every year. It was kind of pricey. And I'd say, too much, too much. But every year, like everything else at Disney, goes up in price.
Right.
So the 1 year, my wife said to me, look, you moan about this every year. You might as well do it now because it's not going to get cheaper. And they're going to give you a Napa Rose cooking school chef coat.
Ooh.
So I bit the bullet and I did it. And I can't say that it was great. So I would want to be a cook at Napa Rose.
Yeah.
Good answer. And
for anyone listening, Barry is like one of the greatest foodies. You are. I mean, I haven't been on Facebook with you for, off and on, I've been on with you for mm-hmm. the last 2 years. Not as much, but even before that, it's just like, yeah, you're a foodie. Actually, you had a great Reuben.
I did have a great Reuben. My wife wanted to go out to a deli.
When we were out and about this week. I looked at that. I told you, I was like, I want a Reuben.
Actually, I'm adding another quick one, but have you been back to Disneyland since it's opened?
No, because it's hard for me to justify it without an annual pass.
Oh, true.
Right.
It's like, if I didn't have an annual pass before, maybe, but it's like now.
No.
You know, how many times do I have to go before it would have worked out, you know, if I had an annual pass? Except for Avengers Campus, there's not that much new. So, yeah, haven't been back. Even with the $20 a day off for a 3-day ticket, probably not going to go unless there's something unless there's a reason to go, because it'll all be there once they completely open. So I don't see why I would wait for them to be only partially open.
Well, when that day comes, you might, if you want to, just get back in contact with me and we'll do another show on Barry going to Disneyland.
Gosh, that would be cool.
Oh, I mean it.
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had podcaster friends that from there that ended up paying $150 for the day.
Yeah.
And they were not happy.
Exactly. So,
all right. Yeah. Well, I hate to do this because I've really had fun, Barry, but we are at the end. You did really amazing with your Disney answers. Thanks for partaking in that. Let's get back to, can you remind our listeners when the shows are going out and where we can find you?
So I'm doing a Zoom show this coming Sunday, which is Friday, the 11th at 7 p.m. Pacific on Zoom. And I'm doing the same show on Thursday at 7 p.m. so I can catch people who might be working during the week or might be working on the weekends. I'm hoping to have friends from Canada and one particular friend, hopefully from Africa, joining.
Ooh,
neat.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a professional photographer who moved to Kenya this year.
I saw the pictures on your Facebook.
She's remarkable.
Yeah.
Piper McKay, M-C-K-A-Y, Piper.
Okay.
I can't believe there are too many of those on Facebook.
No, and like I said, I just saw the pictures that you had put up, and I was like, actually, the color was just so striking of what you had posted, just the garb and the decor that the people were wearing is just amazing.
She leads photo tours there.
Okay, so that's the, I'm just confirming, 11th. So, and the 15th at 7 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, is
it? Nope. Pacific Daylight.
Oh, Pacific.
And you can find links on the Monorail Tales Facebook page.
Yes.
You just scroll down till you find them.
Yep. That's our group page, but yes. And as I said, we are really hoping to get this show out in time, Barry. I mean, if we don't make it for Sunday, I will make a point of getting it out for in time for the Thursday show. So
I appreciate that. I'm not looking for numbers. I'm just looking for people who might enjoy it.
I've got a couple people that for sure that I think would really enjoy it.
So, once again, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for contacting us.
It's been so many years and that I have not talked to you.
I know.
We have never talked. And I told Sheila, Sheila said, like, do you know Barry Wallace? I'm like, yes.
Okay, on that note, let's say goodbye to our listeners.
All right.
And for our listeners, You can find all of our social media links on at monorailtales.com, our website. And for sure, find time on the 11th and 15th and go and support Barry.
I'll be there.
See his magic show. So good night, everyone, and we'll talk real soon. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, Barry.
Stars glow for you. Go see the world, cause it's all so brand new. Don't close your eyes, cause your future's ready to shine. It's just a matter of time before we learn how to fly. Welcome to the rhythm of the night. There's something in the air you can't deny. It's been fun, but now I've got to go.
Thank you!